Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Time Congregation, Mount Zion, the Bell Town, Little York, Texas. Today is November 4, 2017, Earth's Door 16, 2021. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Spread the tidings all around, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the ways. Onwards tis, oh Yahshua's command, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Off it on the roaring tide, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Tell to send us far and wide, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Sing ye heavens of the sea, echo back the ocean cave. Earth shall keep as you believe, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Sing above the battle strife, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. By his death and endless life, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in time for the tomb, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Hear the winds a mighty voice, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest cave. This our song of victory, Yahshua Saves, Yahshua Saves. Esau and Jacob, part 9. Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 137. And we're going to start with the first paragraph. The prophecy could not have been for the early part of the apostolic congregation. Before we read in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Yahweh. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Yahweh. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. If this scripture had a reference unto the early part of the church or prior unto the dark ages, then Yahweh would have failed to carry out his promise. Note that from the beginning of the apostolic congregation, the stones, swords, crosses, ropes, fires, and many other cruel instruments which were formed against the church did prosper and continue to prosper up till about the middle of the 18th century. Therefore, the prophet should have had no reference unto the early part of the church. So the following quotation will prove the time unto which the scripture applies. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment, thou shalt condemn. Clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness, the congregation is to enter upon her final conflict. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. For the darkest hour of the church's struggle with the powers of evil is that which immediately precedes the day of her final deliverance. But none who trust in Yahweh need fear, for when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, Yahweh will be unto his church a refuge from the storm. Prophets and Chains, page 725. Okay, I got a comment to make here. There are five stones. There were five stones in King David's bag, the little shepherd boy. He used the fifth one to slay Goliath, which today represents the world, the beast. Okay. So now, we have five official movements, starting with Moses coming out of Egypt 3,500 years ago. The first stone in David's bag represents that movement. Okay. The second stone represents Yahshua and the apostles at the cross. The third stone represents William Miller, 1833, in connection with the Adventists of 1844, had the third stone, and the third angel's message evolved from that third stone. That William Miller started with in 1833 and culminated with the Adventists. The ninth hour call of labor is the fourth group. William Miller was the third group. Third stone, third group. The Adventist was the fourth stone, fourth group. Okay. We represent the fifth stone and the fifth group here in the 12th hour. The seventh seal. Okay. Now it says, and it says, the darkest hour of the church struggle with the powers of evil is that which immediately precedes the day of our final deliverance. Okay, so the darkest hour for the Adventist church came in 2002 at Gilead Center. For when the last prophet, with the inspiration of the prophetic office for the Adventist, was spewed out of Yahshua's mouth as the angel of the seventh candlestick, then that was the darkest hour and day for the Adventist. Because you can't say that was the darkest hour when Ellen G. White warned them to receive Jones and Wagner's message in 1888-1890, and the majority rejected. That wasn't the darkest hour for the Adventist. Because there's a prophecy that says Yahweh's going to send another messenger with inspiration. And that was V.T. Holliff, 1930. And when V.T. Holliff died, that was the darkest hour for the Davidians at that time, 1955. But it wasn't the darkest hour for the Adventist church overall. It was only the darkest hour for the second feeding pastor, Mount Carmel at Waco. And then when the 1970 came to an end, and Ben Roden closed out the rod period to be no more, that was not the darkest hour, but that was the darkest hour for the Davidians. Actually, that was the darkest hour, 1970, when their prophecy was up. Okay, so in 1970, 2003, the darkest hour came for the Adventist church when Yahshua had to close out the leader, Brother Johnson, because there was no more prophecies alluding to the Seventh-day Adventists as the fourth group labors of having any more labors to come. As part of the fourth group labor, because their prophetic period was up. So that was the darkest hour for the fourth group labor, Matthew 20, verse 5, called it the ninth hour to work in the tenth and the eleventh only, those 2 hours. And when that 11th hour was over, Yahweh closed out the 11th hour, closed down the judgment for the dead, investigated judgment for the dead is over with, and the office of inspiration was no longer open for the Seventh-day Adventists because it had been transferred to the higher office. It had been transferred to the Church of the Firstborn, which is written in heaven. I read that to you this morning about the Church of the Firstborn. Now, it says they were pursued. All right, now, having said that, I'm going to turn now to Colossians chapter 1 and read to you about the Church of the Firstborn. Now, we know that in the prophecy of Hosea, he had three children, Jezreel, Lo-Ami, and Lo-Ruami. He had three children, two sons and a daughter. Okay. Now, he's using that family as an allegory of closing out the Old Testament, the Church of the Firstborn of the flesh, for the Old Testament was closed out with the Pharisees. Okay? So there was no single viable leader among the Pharisees except your high priest, and their name was like Caiaphas and so forth. That was the only... You had Pilate also a king. They were your notable leaders of the Pharisees. Now, but Yahshua was a notable leader of the Church of the Firstborn of the Spirit. And when Yahshua started his ministry in 1930, he established the Church of the Firstborn for the beginning of the New Testament. And that church was not established until after Yahshua died and resurrected. It was set up before his death in the Old Testament. It got its training in the Old Testament, the Church of the Firstborn, so that he could close out the Church of the Old Testament, the Pharisees, and have the Church of the New Testament ready to take its place. You had to have a continuation. You couldn't have a prophet assigned to the house of Israel come to its end and then to succeed him. It just don't work that way. There's always someone there ready to succeed you. So in Colossians chapter 1, it says that Paul now is a minister unto the Gentiles, and he had to wait 3.5 years after Yahshua's resurrection, after Yahshua had already set up the congregation of the firstborn with the 11 purified disciples. Actually, he ended up with 12. Matthias became the 12th one in the New Testament. Judas was the 12th one that was closed out in the Old Testament. Now get that one. Judas was closed out in the Old Testament. Matthias was closed, was accepted as the 12th one in the New Testament. And he operated with the 11 disciples for 3.5 years in the Church of the Firstborn, which is written in heaven. Yahshua established that church. So likewise, the antitypical Church of the Firstborn, Yahshua is going to establish it again as the antitype, and he already has established it. That's who we represent. All right. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, it says, starting with verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Yahshua Messiah, by the will of Yahweh, and Timothy, our brother, unto the saints and the faithful brethren in the Yahshua which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from Elohim our Father and the Savior Yahshua Messiah. We give thanks unto Yahweh and the Father of our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in the Yahshua Messiah, and of the love which we have unto all the saints. Now, when he says all the saints, he's talking about all of those of the house of Israel, the Hebrew Israelites, and the Gentiles that have been born again of the Spirit, converted, baptized, and regenerated, and reincarnated. That's a new word that I haven't used before. They're reincarnated. In other words, they were born of the flesh. Everybody's born of the flesh when they're first born, logically and naturally. But they can be preordained by the Spirit to be of the church of the firstborn after they get grown, not when they're born. Okay, so everyone's born of the flesh, literally. But you've got those that was preordained by the Spirit, and those that were not. All right. So it says, for the hope, verse 5, which is laid up for you in the heaven. Whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the Yahshua, which is coming to you as it is in all the world. And bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of Yahweh and the truth. As you also learned of the Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of the Yahshua, who also declared unto us your love and the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So what is the desire today? Same thing. That you might walk worthy of the Yahshua unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of the Father. Yahweh, strengthened with all of the might, according unto his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with the joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who hath delivered us from the power of the darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Alright, now let's go read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. And let's see what Peter has to say about the same thing. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, and to the everlasting kingdom of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. So this kingdom that we're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So it says in verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. So everybody has to be established in the present truth if they expect to be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. You have to be established in the present truth. Okay, so now, what does it take to be established in the present truth? Well, one thing, it says there in Colossians, chapter 1, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, you have to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, not just part, not just one, but all, and spiritual understanding. Now, when we read that, we think of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And let's go now and see what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 has to say about that. And we might be pleasantly surprised at how all these disciples here in the New Testament, with the office of inspiration, the Spirit speaking the same thing unto them. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says that, and be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Father. And then Paul, speaking to the Roman Gentiles there, he's speaking the same thing that 1 Peter 1:13 to 16 was saying. Well, let's look at 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. Let's see what that says. It says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope unto the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of the Yahshua Messiah, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves again unto the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of the conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, where does they get all this information at? They start in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45. Let's go and read it. There's a chapter of that in 44 and 45. It says, for I am the Yahweh your Elohim. You shall therefore sanctify yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Yahweh that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Savior. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Now this is Yahshua actually talking here. And so let's read that again. For I am the Yahshua, your Savior. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy. For I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of a creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Yahshua that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Savior. Your Redeemer, in other words. Your redemption by the blood, by my blood. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Okay, so now, where are these disciples, Peter and Paul? Where are they getting all their information from, their orders from? They're getting it from the law of Moses. Just read it to you. Okay, having said all of that, now let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 again. It says, let's read verse 9 again. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Yahshua unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of the Father. You got to continually being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge. Okay, John 15:16. So what does that tell us? That's a cross reference there. Let's go see what John 15:16 has to say. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. This is Yahshua talking here. and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. Okay. These things I command you, that you love one another. Okay, there you have it. So we go back to 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, strengthen with all might, according unto his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, he's talking about Ephesians chapter 3 again. Colossians chapter 3. And let's go read it. Paul speaking the same language to all these here Gentiles, whether they be Romans or Colossians or Ephesians or Galatians, he spoke the same language. He says in Galatians 3, about 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according unto the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Yahshua may dwell in your hearts by the faith in his blood, that ye being rooted and grounded in the love of the truth, I added that part, the truth, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of the Father, know the love of the Yahshua, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of the Father, Yahweh. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory and the congregation by the Yeshua Messiah throughout all ages, world without end. Now this is the world without end, folks. You want to know what the world is that exists in this world and in this life without end? This is the only world that exists. It's a world that has yet to be recreated anew. And when it's recreated, that this earth will pass away, completely disappear out of the universe, as all of the stars and the heavenly hosts, the sun, the moon, and all the heavenly hosts is going to disappear out of the universe. And because Yahweh says, behold, I'll create new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, so, I'm going to go and read to you just a verse or two from Proverbs chapter 8. It's pretty interesting about heaven, alluding to heaven as being an earth. Let's go and read. Let's just read the whole chapter. There's 27 verses to Proverbs. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and taught understanding thy kinswoman, that ye may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatteth with her words. This is what happened to our dear brother Alan DeLong. And I'm still praying for Yahweh to deliver Alan DeLong, if indeed he hasn't passed over the line of no return. I'm praying for him every day to be delivered from that situation, from that strange woman that he got linked up with. I admit it was his fault all the way, but still I'm praying for his deliverance. Because it says in Proverbs chapter 7, well, I said I was going to read from Proverbs chapter 8, but I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 7. And then I'll read from Proverbs chapter 8. Okay, it says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Okay. That thou may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Okay. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. Now this is this here a harlot woman talking. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. See? He knew where she lived. He knew all about her, but he didn't want to be seen, having anything to do with her. So he waited till the evening and the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Bless Alan's heart. It just breaks my heart to think about how he ended up in his life. I know he had at least three women in his life that were harlots. And the one he's got now is a harlot. And this is sad, but I speak the truth. I don't pull no punches. I call it, when I know the facts, I call it like it is. Well, yeah, sure called it like it was. The father called it like it was. He didn't pull any punches. Okay. So it says, she is loud and stubborn in Proverbs 7:11. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Okay, so now she's in the streets, not just one street. She's down walking the streets. She's a harlot woman. She's walking the streets until she finds somebody. Until she sees somebody that's a live person walking around, and she does this at night. That's when this young man goes out. He goes out at night. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. That is L-O-V-E-S. Not just one, but loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stalks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastes to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. In Proverbs chapter 8, chapter 7, let's go now to chapter 8, start with verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places. By the way, in the places of the path, she crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is unto the sons of man. O you simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of the excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination unto my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right unto them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than the rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared unto it. You see this? Wisdom. Keep that in mind. Memorize that verse, Proverbs 8, verse 11. I'll read it again. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared unto it. Our wisdom dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty invention. To fear the Yahweh is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Now, if you put the prepositional phrase in there, it sounds like this. For I am with the understanding. For I have the strength. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of the judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. For the Yahweh possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I will sit up from everlasting, from the beginning, however the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with the water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Now look at verse 28. Read this, follow closely with me. Proverbs 8, 28. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, verse 29. When he gave unto the sea his decree, that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. And let us continue now to read. We're on Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Verse 31, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Alright, now, this is Yahshua talking here. Okay, this is Yahshua talking through Solomon. And he's talking about himself. He said, in verse 30, then I was by him. Let's read verse 28 and 29. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave unto the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, that's talking about this earth here. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. So, okay. So Yahshua was with him at the beginning of this earth. I had a little misunderstanding on that earlier. This could refer to Yahweh's earth and heaven, which he, and heaven is a planet. Heaven, but I believe that all in all, finally at last, that Yahshua is talking about being the habitable part of his earth was the Garden of Eden. That's the first place that he made habitable for mankind, for Adam and Eve. So Yahshua was there with him in the beginning, because Genesis chapter 1 says that he's a co-creator of this earth. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 confirms that. So he says, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Alright, so when was Yahshua created? He was created in Yahweh's earth. Because Yahshua was not created on this earth in the beginning, in his first creation. He was created in the Father's earth in heaven. And that's just what this is referring to. I can say that. Because he's rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. Okay. So I'm sure when Yahweh created his earth and heaven, that he created it just like he did here on earth. He first located the Garden of Eden as the headquarters for this earth, for his first parents, Adam and Eve, to live in and to be able to occupy and to live from day to day. That's the way it was in heaven. Yahshua was created in heaven with his Father and his earth. And of course this earth here on this earth, this planet, is also Yahweh's earth, but it's also Yahweh and Yahshua's earth. Because Yahshua, I'm sure, did not help Yahweh co-create the first earth in heaven. I'm sure that Yahweh did that all by himself, and then he created his son to rejoice in the habitation of the Father's earth. And then when he came to this earth and mankind sinned, because Adam and Eve were the first ones created on this earth, and they dwelt and they were rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and that was in the Garden of Eden. Okay? Now it says in Proverbs 8:32, now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Okay, now whose ways? The Yahshua's ways. It's Yahshua talking here. That keeps my ways, alright? Now, Yahshua comes all the way now, when it fast forwards to the New Testament, John 14:6, what does he say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's go read it. Alright, John 14:6. Yahshua said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, I thought it said life, but it says the life, okay. And how do you have that life? Through the blood of the Yahshua. Through his blood you have this same life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, what gives the Son eternal life? Number one, sin did not touch him. That's number one. And so, but because of that, then Yahweh the Father was able to raise him up then from the grave, and that's in Romans 13:20. He was able to raise him up. I mean, Hebrews 13:20. He was able to raise him up And it says, now the Yahweh of the peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Yeshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Okay. So now, that same blood then, that he was able to raise the Son up and give him eternal life, is that same blood now that's flowing through the veins of Yeshua that gives us eternal life. So, that being very clear on that. So now we go back to Proverbs chapter 8. And let's read verse 32 again. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. What is Yahshua's way? Well, David being with wisdom and enlightenment, he says there in Psalm 73, and we might quickly turn to that and read it, 73:17. David says, I will Yahweh. He said 73:17. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of Yahweh, then understood I therein. And then as we fast forward to 77:13, it says that thy way, O Yahweh, is in the sanctuary. So now we back up a minute. Who is David talking about? Yahshua's way. He's talking about the Son's way. He says, thy way, O Yahshua, the Son, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a Yahshua as our Savior? So let's do that again. Who is so great a high priest that will redeem us when he becomes qualified after his death on the cross as our Savior with his redemption through his own blood? What can be greater than that for us here on earth? That's Psalm 77:13. Okay. And then you go back to John 15:10, and then you get a little bit more enlightenment on some things. It says that, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, Yahshua is telling his disciples here. He said, verse 9, John 15, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. He said, he didn't say continue in my Father's love. He said, continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. That's the only way you can get to the Father and get his acceptance, is that through my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So it's a two-step situation here. You accept the Savior, you love him, you keep his commandment, you abide in his love, and then he will take your record before the Father on the Day of Atonement, and he'll plead your cause. And if you have a clean record, if you've atoned for all your sins during the year, if you've had any sins, and you made remissions for them, got them taken care of by the blood, and the Old Testament by the blood of the animal, and the New Testament by the blood of Yahshua. These things have I spoken unto you. This is John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might be. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Now this is Yahshua's commandment. He said, the Father loved me, because I do always those things that please him, so he loved me. If you love me, do those things that please me. And then I'm commanding you to love one another. A greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. So, if you've got that kind of love for your brother and your friends, then you would be willing to even lay down your life for them. Would be no problem. If it required your life to save your friends, you would do it. And then Yeshua says unto his disciples there in John 15, verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you, then you're my friend. And he said, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his master doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So if we want to know what the Father has for us, if we're Yeshua's friends, then he will make known unto us everything that the Father has made known unto him. Now you can't get any better than that. He wants to know about the time fulfillment of prophecies and so forth. Well then, follow this chain of command. Okay, now, it says in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He says, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now, Yahweh chose Donald Trump out of the world. And lo and behold, the world hates him. And they wish him dead. Especially the ultra-liberal left. They wished him dead. And because Yeshua chose him out of the world to save the world at large as it is right now by the identifying the two groups of people in the world, the good and the bad, the sheep and the goats. That's essentially what's happening. He goes on saying in John 15:21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Because they don't know the Father. That's the reason why they can never accept me, because they don't know the Father to begin with. And the way that they would know the Father under the Old Testament is to follow the animal sacrifice according to the law of Moses faithfully for sin. And if they follow the sanctuary system, then they would know that there is a mediator that is to come, and that would be the Son of Yahweh, the Father. And then when he does come, they would recognize him if they were following the sanctuary system faithfully according to the law of Moses of the Old Testament. Then they would recognize him when I come. But apparently those Pharisees, Sadducees, publicans, and all those sinners back then at the cross, and our scribes and all those teachers in Israel, like Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of them. Nicodemus escaped. He was one of the very few that broke over and accepted Yeshua and saved his eternal life. But Yeshua tells us, he says, these have not known me because they have not faithfully followed the sanctuary system of the law of Moses, as it was taught by him. Oh, they claimed to follow the Torah. Yeah, the Pharisees, they claimed to be in charge and the interpreters of the Torah, and they wrote and added an additional 613 statutes to the Torah, which was they called the law of Moses back then. And they called that the law of Moses. And they went by the 613 statutes. And then they corrupted the law of Moses with their statutes by adding them to them. And so therefore they had a nondescript beast on their hands. They became part of the nondescript beast that was represented Rome back then. They were no more understanding than those Roman atheist people that was in charge of Jerusalem at the time Yahshua was there, and with the help of the Gentiles and the Pharisees, they crucified Yahshua. They are all in on together. Gentiles, Romans, and the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the publicans. They all represented that beast, that fourth beast in Daniel's vision. Okay, it says in John 15, verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Because I've spoken the truth unto them, and they rejected it, so they don't have no cloak now for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Well, that's what brought Gilead Senator close and the whole Adventist church. Their leadership ended up hating the Father and the Son, because they didn't like the choice that the Father and the Son chose to have to rule over them in the end when they came to their end. And that was Elijah David. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of the truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So what's the importance of the Yahshua sending the Spirit of the Father from him to us? Because that he will testify of the Son. Okay? And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. This brings close our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. And if number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song entitled There Is Power in the Blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, O evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood. Some things are lost in this life-giving flow. Wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lord. Would you do service for Yahshua, your King? There's power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.